Occult Confessions is brought to you commercial-free through the generous support of our patrons. Visit occultconfessions.com and click on Donate to help keep the history of the occult on the digital airwaves.
Wovoka was a Paiute Indian born in 1858 in Mason Valley, Nevada. His father was a medicine man, and Wovoka gained fame as a young man for his ability to see visions. When the Paiutes were forced to give up their traditional ways, he moved to work on the farm of a man named David Wilson and learned about Christianity there. In the mid-1880s, Wovoka fell into trance and collapsed unconscious. When he woke up, he said he'd been to heaven and spoken with God and taught his people a new dance. The Paiute practiced the dance for a while, but it didn't really catch on. Then on New Year's Day 1889, the day of an eclipse, while sick in his cabin, Wovoka died as the sun died. He saw God and people long dead return to their youth and living happily. He returned from the dead with the ability to control the weather and another new dance. This time, it was the ghost dance, which promised to give the dancers visions of their dead relatives, and it would spread across the country and spark a new religion among America's native people. This was not the first ghost dance initiated among the Paiute. 20 years earlier, a holy man named Wadziwab taught new prayers, songs, and a dance to his people at the Walker River Reservation in Nevada to bring back the dead and restore the old way of life. Wovoka's father had been one of Wadziwab's followers during this 1870 ghost dance. The idea of a mass return of the dead was new in 1870 and repeated by Wovoka in 1890. But there had been a long tradition of shamans who were able to bring individual people back from the dead, and Wovoka was the last of the holy men capable of this feat.
Do not tell the white people about this. Jesus is now upon the earth. He appears like a cloud, and the dead are all alive again. I do not know when they will be here, maybe this fall or in the spring. When the time comes, there will be no more sickness, and everyone will be young again. Do not refuse to work for the whites, and do not make any trouble with them until you leave them. When the earth shakes, do not be afraid. It will not hurt you. I want you to dance every 6 weeks. Make a feast at the dance, and have food that everybody may eat. Then bathe in the water. That is all. You will receive good words again from me, sometime. Do not tell lies.
Wovoka predicted a great earthquake, that only the Indians would survive, after which the Indians and their revived ancestors would live forever in a world without sickness or misery. This earthquake, he said, would arrive in the spring of 1891. Although Wovoka predicted an end to white oppression, this was not a warlike doctrine. God would solve the Indians' problems, and they need not take up arms against the whites to achieve this apocalypse. In order to survive the earthquake unharmed, the Indians should dance for 4 nights, ending on the morning of the 5th night, and then bathe themselves in a river. They should do this every 6 weeks. The dancer should wear a feather to lift him or her up when the earth shook, and red paint to protect against illness in the meanwhile.
That's great. So was there, I guess everyone learned this dance and just did it repeat like over and over again?
Well, they were only supposed to do it every 6 weeks, but they did not follow this rule very well, as we're going to find out.
That never ends very well.
When you overdance it?
Yeah. Don't follow the dance rules.
Especially for, like 4 days? Like, yeah.
Burying the lead today, are we? It's not going to end well.
Do we know what this dance looks like? Or has it kind of been lost?
Yeah, but no, there's some accounts. I think it's there's some variability to it because it's based on a lot of improvisation. So I'll get to some description of how the dance went as we go along today.
I like the feather part.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I want to incorporate that with my dancing.
Oh, cool. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. When I go to the club.
You're club dancing.
Everyone knows gonna...
That's
I'm sorry. I don't know where I was going.
You don't want to take that any further. You're reflecting on
just like actually
the genocide of the native
people. Socializing in the club. It's just like, wait a second. Do I actually?
How far do I want to compare my club dancing?
I had a thought.
Native tradition.
I went with it, and then it didn't lead to anything.
We're dead.
We are going to try very hard not to offend anyone today. My name is...
As always.
Rob Z. Thompson, Doctor of Occult Studies, and your supreme hierophant of the Secret Order of Alchemical Actors. Olivia Litteral is back in the circle.
I can't believe I was gone for...
What? Oh. The werewolves?
Oh, one episode.
One whole werewolf. Yeah.
Feels so long ago.
That's our Grand Master. We've got Shannon Landers, our Instaquisitor.
Hello.
And neophyte Abby Cook is joining us for the first time. Welcome, Abby.
Hey. Hi.
Okay. Good to have you. Hello. All right, then. All right. That's us. This is Occult Confessions. We, the members of the Secret Order of Alchemical Actors, do solemnly commit ourselves to a full and honest telling of the history of the occult as far as we know it. I felt a little bit like I was dragging you all through that one.
Well, Abby has no idea.
It was like the episode of Avatar when he's in like book three and he's just like Fire Lord and just like going through the chant.
You know, he's like,
That's.
So are you saying a completely different chant right then? Is that?
It's mostly Abby looking at Shannon and I as Shannon and I slowly realized
like,
that
Abby
had
your
no
lips
idea
and I'm just
what
like,
was happening.
Alchemical, yes.
Yeah. So you're just nodding the whole time. You're like, I agree.
We really got to sit people down and make them listen to this.
It's a terrible cult. I don't even know our chant.
Let's get to the three plugs today.
Plug, plug, plug. I know you have a sound effect, but...
Yeah, because you've heard it.
I know, but I'm still... I don't know, it's the three plugs.
I'll see if I can connect the plug, plug, plug with the sound effect this time. All right. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say I like Olivia's take on it.
Oh,
nice.
Of course you do.
Thanks.
You know, it
gang, gang.
She said plug three times. And
I had the men crew for werewolves, and now I've got the lady crew.
I was about to say, the last episode had a lot of masculinity happening.
We're going
to
balance it out today.
Mm, yes.
All right. So let's start with plug number one. That's for some of today's sources. We've got Gregory Smoke's Ghost Dances and Identity. Ronnie Henrik Anderson's Lakota Ghost Dance of 1890 and S.E. Wilmer's Theater Society and Nation. So those we're all going to link to on our website, as usual, occultconfessions.com. You just click on the resources page if you would like to get your hands on any of those excellent resources. And there's some other articles and things that we'll link to as well. But those are our main sources for our research today. Our second plug, we want to send a big thank you out to our first research friend.
That was a very...
We have to come up with a more official... Anyway, yeah. I'm talking about Ian McAlpin, who is one of our scholars behind the scenes. We've been inviting feedback from some of our listeners with research experience, and Ian has expertise in Native American history and culture, and he's pursuing his master's degree in library science. Pretty nifty guy.
Oh, man, he's going to hear my feather comment
and
be like, ooh, this white girl.
So, Ian's very nice. I'm sure he'll take the time now, Shannon, just to tell you that
expect
a DM, a personal DM.
It wasn't even like a fully thought-up joke.
Ian is so nice that he's offered, if you've got questions about any of what we're discussing today on this episode, I'm telling you, you can always contact us. That's fine. But Ian says he also invites you to reach out to him. He's at ian.mcalpin@ou.edu.
That was very official.
Yeah.
He's an official guy.
Wow.
Finally, as usual, final plug. We want to ask you to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't yet. This is the second episode in our Warfare series, Magical Warfare. We're going to be heading to Great Britain next for Aleister Crowley going to war and the Magical Battle of Britain. So go ahead and subscribe. Oh, we got to go to China first. Sorry. Pit stop in China.
China, then Great Britain.
So go ahead and subscribe if you don't want to. You want to be sure to not miss any of the exciting magical warfare action coming your way. And if you are enjoying, go ahead and hop on and give us one of those reviews and let us know what's happening in your head as you are listening to this.
I mean, what's more exciting than magical warfare? You kind of cover all your bases there.
Right?
All the demographics.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping. Okay, let's get started. The Lakota chiefs gathered at the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, and each spoke their piece about whether or not to send a delegation west to Nevada to meet the Messiah. They decided a delegation would go out in late summer or fall 1889 under the leadership of Good Thunder. In 1890, the official delegation returned with the opinion that the Messiah had, in fact, arrived. Short Bull, who had fought with Sitting Bull in the War of 1876, meaning
that's
together.
That's almost confusing.
All right, yeah. So there's Short Bull. This is Good Thunder. He made the first trip.
Good Thunder is the best name so far. I just want to put that out
there. All right, fine. Short Bull fought alongside Sitting Bull in 1876, and both of these characters, or historical figures, are going to be important to us today. Also, there's another guy called Kicking Bear, and he's also in the delegation.
Great.
Just judging by the names.
I mean, aren't they given their names based off
some correlation, yeah.
I just imagine him as a person. I want to hang out with him.
So Short Bull, Kicking Bear, and Sitting Bull would all go on to be involved in the ghost dance religion among the Lakota. And they opposed the reforms visited on the Lakota by the U.S. government after the defeat of Sitting Bull in 1876. Smoke came from heaven, goes the story, to the spot where the Messiah was to appear. So as our Lakota and various other nations have gathered around to meet the Messiah in 1889, this is what they saw. Smoke from heaven. And the Messiah is about to appear amidst this smoke. When the smoke clears, a man about 40 years old, with a sign of the crucifixion on his body, appears. Since the whites had once crucified him, he had come to help the Indians right the wrongs that the whites had exacted against them. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It is Indian Jesus.
That's incredible.
Yeah, a true story. Wovoka said that he could kill the whites simply by extending his arm, and that the Indians should take up farming and go to school.
Yeah!
Unrelated facts, but,
but still, like,
all things that
so
are
helpful.
Part of his situation there. So we have the Cheyennes, we have the Paiute, the Shoshone, and the Lakota all gathering on a hill for the arrival of this Messiah.
This is so cool.
We'll hear from Short Bull.
We put on red earth paint, and then, one behind the other, we climbed the hill. We climbed to the top, and in the middle there was a huge flat rock, and around it was a grove of pine trees, and everything was visible in all directions. And then they sat in a circle, and one of the Paiutes sat down in the middle where we were sitting and shouted something. After a while, a white man came and stood in the middle of them, but none of us looked steadily at him. He stood with his head bowed, and all at once, surprisingly, he made a speech in the Lakota language.
He told them that he would teach them a dance by means of which they would see long-dead relatives. He said they should go to the sweat lodge and not eat the white man's food or wear metal, and dance with eyes closed, thinking of a lost relative. He told them to do as the white man asked, because they would not have to for long. You get it? Just do what the white man wants. It's not going to be for very long. He showed them a vision of a village and appeared amidst the village. Then he asked them to close their eyes, and he and the village slowly disappeared.
Whoa. Like, can confirm, people can confirm that
Yeah. This is what all these folks saw. This is what they confirmed, their vision. I gotta be honest, I'm not entirely sure if we're experiencing Wovoka here, or it's some vision of Jesus of Nazareth separately. Well, it's really Jesus Christ, right? I mean, it's this otherworldly messianic figure, but there's kind of like an overlap between Wovoka, prophet, and Jesus. Mm. So, you know, I guess that's my caveat here. Whether we're looking at Wovoka or Jesus in the vision, sort of open to interpretation. Okay. So when he comes down from the hill, Short Bull is unsure of what he saw, and he asks the others who had joined him what they saw. And, as I just said to Olivia, all of them had seen the same thing. And they all agreed to join in this ghost dance.
I would agree to join in, too, if I just saw that.
Right?
I'd agree to almost anything
if I saw that. Yes.
Now we know how to get you to agree to things.
Just make Shannon just watch an entire city disappear.
Right, elaborate like, vision.
Okay.
That's the key. All right.
They know what's up now.
So the delegates told of seeing long dead relatives, and that having eaten only the parts of the buffalo they felled, that the as the Messiah had advised, the buffalo could be brought back to life again. So these are the new skills that they've garnered since
they've had this vision. Bringing buffalo back to life.
Yeah, but if you just eat certain parts, and they'll regrow them, and they'll be back at it.
Huh.
Yeah.
That kind of goes against, I mean, wasn't their normal tenet to use every single piece of the animal?
Yeah.
But I guess if you're not killing the animal.
Right.
I just think that's
it'll be brought back to life,
interesting
so.
To go. Yeah.
That's yeah, it's coming back. So you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. I wonder that's what cool. parts it is, though, that you're allowed to eat. Like ones that
yeah.
regrow. I don't know.
What
like,
is, what's crucial,
what's crucial
back?
For a buffalo? Yeah. Like to be brought back to life.
A lot of the details
like,
are lost to us.
That? Yeah.
But that would be interesting. What?
Nothing.
Just you're just thinking about which parts you'd like to have.
Taking a bite out of like this. It's kind of sad. I don't know.
It's kind of sad.
I don't like that. Like keeping them alive just to be eaten.
But that's isn't that wait.
I don't.
So you don't like that they can come back just so we can take another bite out of them later?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny.
It is, in a way, it is kind of funny.
You're upset.
This is how I cope.
Okay. You laugh when you're uneasy yeah. about the fate of the
buffalo.
Yeah. I get what you mean, though. It's kind of like, that's upsetting for the buffalo, right?
I know.
He's just there to get bites taken out of him. And come back to do it again.
I wouldn't want someone to do that to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Prometheus Bound there, isn't it? Buffalo Bound.
Well, now it's even sadder.
I can't believe that we went this deep on the buffalo.
I just thought we should give him his due.
Okay.
So. Talk about human sacrifice all we want, but talk yeah. about buffalo.
Buffalo sacrifice. Not talk about
that's
it.
That's where I draw the line.
I have got to get control of this conversation. Wovoka also shortened the way home for them, all right? So after making camp in the evening, so they went to bed, they found themselves closer to home when they woke up in the morning than they had gone to sleep.
This
so they moved in the night.
That's convenient.
The best.
When Good Thunder and his delegation returned, they said they had seen the Son of God with holes in his body, although these things were not part of the accounts that they had initially given of their experience right away. So they gave some accounts right away, and then they elaborated on them when they got home. This figure, he said, talked abstractly about Jesus' return, but did not necessarily identify himself as Jesus. So again, that's the sort of haziness about who this guy is that's appearing in these visions. Ultimately, they subsumed this Messiah under their Lakota Great Spirit as one of his aspects. So they're taking the native the Lakota Great Spirit. So there's different spirits for different tribes, of course. And they're saying, okay, he came, and this is just one aspect of him. Sort of not unlike the aspects of Vishnu in his various incarnations.
Yeah, makes sense.
Although elements of the Christian narrative also lingered, of course, in the story that we're telling. We can hear all these different things, crucifixions and resurrections. The Lakota talked about the Messiah helping to punish the whites, although this was not in his initial message. So the Lakota are bringing in these new ideas that we're going to punish the whites, but arguably Wovoka and Jesus they didn't have really any ideas about punishing the whites. They were like, you just let them go and play along,
and
it'll all come out in the end. Mm-hmm. But now the Lakota are going home and saying, we're going to help this along.
Someone's always got to corrupt it.
Got to interpret the vision. Yeah, you got to be careful. That's going to be a theme for this and the China episode. We're going to be talking about how people interpret visions and things that can happen when you start analyzing. He talked about coexisting with the whites, Jesus that is, until a new order could be established protecting the Indians. So that was his real message, but the Lakota are interpolating. Mm-hmm. Changes through translations were inevitable, though, because these tribes did not share a common language except for a sign language and English. So they all spoke different languages. Further changes would follow because the Lakota did not have a formalized theology. Rather, they allowed for a variety of individual perspectives on their religious doctrines, so everyone could sort of have their own take.
Okay, go ahead.
Olivia's converting to traditional Lakota, perhaps. I don't know if you can do that, but
no,
you can apply.
I think I'm...
Send your application in.
I'm very white. I don't think that's going to go well.
On the Pine Ridge and Rosebud reservations, leaders of the new Ghost Dance religion were arrested for distracting their fellow Lakota from their farm work. They promised to give up organizing large public gatherings. So they're being very heavily patrolled and regulated by whites.
That's interesting, though, because wasn't part of the message was to study and also continue farming or focus on farming?
Yeah.
Wow, so everything's just...
Things are getting, yeah, a little twisty. Mm. A drought led to widespread crop failure.
Oh, my God.
Among American Indians.
Huh? They don't need this right now.
No, right? We're having enough trouble.
I don't think anybody needs that.
Well, yeah, but...
But, well, see, now here's the situation. The white settlers who had the same drought were able to just pack up and go to a different place. But American Indians had been placed on reservations, so when their land, they just couldn't do anything about it. They were stuck. So, to make matters worse, the United States Congress cut appropriations, and the leaders of the tribes feared widespread starvation throughout the winter. So the government also is not sending any help. Broken promises about building new schools would further frustrate the Indians and grow the ranks of the Ghost Dancers. So this is sort of like a perfect storm for a movement that is oppositional to the government structure that's oppressing them. Short Bull and Kicking Bear began preaching the Ghost Dance religion in earnest after all this is going down.
Kicking Bear.
Kicking Bear is back.
To these people.
In August 1890, thousands were dancing at a camp separated from the reservation's farms. Thousands. At White Clay Creek, people began to fall into trance and return with stories of a wonderful spirit journey.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sorry. This is the stuff I like.
Efforts by the government agents to break the power of the chiefs and disrupt the Lakota's traditional ways were themselves disrupted at the camps where they returned to their traditions and the chiefs. So the whites have been sort of like working to get the Lakota to follow this sort of like quote-unquote civilized process of behavior and whatever. And the Ghost Dance is actually a way of actively opposing and returning everyone back to their traditional roots. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Lakota believed in Wakatanka, the Wakataka. There it is. The Great Spirit or Great Mystery, a spirit force that pervaded both the physical and non-physical worlds. The Great Spirit had 16 forms organized into four sets of four along a hierarchy. I know. We're not going to get into, not going to go into all that. Just be aware that that's the case.
Yeah.
That's all. The numbers 4 and 7 were actually pretty significant to the Lakota, and all of their rituals and beliefs involved those numbers. 4 cardinal directions, 4 seasons, 4 stages of human's life, 7 council fires of the Sioux Nation, 4 sets or categories are the sun, earth, rock, and spirit. Mm-hmm. Humans' 4 spirits are the Nagi, which would return to the world of the living after death, the Naya, or life breath, Nagila, or little ghost, and Siku, personal power. So those are your 4 ghosts.
Like little ghosts. So cute.
There's 4 classes of holy men. The highest of these are the mediators between the living and the dead, who lead religious ceremonies and are also capable of healing, not only through the spirits, but through their own power. Short Bull, Black Elk, Sitting Bull are all holy or medicine men.
Like Black Elk, too.
Yeah, Black Elk, pretty famous guy. The book Black Elk Speaks is his reflection on all of the different events going on near the end of the...
That is such a good title for your book.
Black Elk Speaks, yeah.
Can you just imagine Rob Thompson speaks? Like, that is so dramatic.
I hope not to witness what Black Elk witnessed in his lifetime.
Well, but, yeah.
Perhaps. I'll consider it.
Your book would be very different.
Mostly about podcasting things.
And babies.
Yeah, babies.
But Black Elk talks about, you know, the trials and travails of the native peoples during this tumultuous time. Okay. The sacred pipe, or buffalo calf pipe, was the most significant symbol, and was so sacred that a man's guilt or innocence could be determined by whether or not he smoked the pipe. A guilty man would never smoke the buffalo calf pipe. Yeah. Sweat lodges were used for purification of body and mind and strengthening of spirit. Lakota also practiced ghost keeping, that is, keeping the soul of a recently departed community member close, often by erecting a lodge to keep the spirit close to them.
Is that kind of trapping them in a sense? Or it's not like that, is it?
Keeping them near. Okay. You put a more positive spin on it.
Keeping them near, okay.
Yeah, keeping them close to you, but not forever.
They're chill with it.
Yeah, okay.
Like the spirit.
Yeah,
is.
Just keeping them close in the short term while as we go through the process. Lakota sought direction through visions, which were interpreted by medicine men. A strong enough vision could lead to a Lakota becoming a medicine or holy man. The annual sun dance, conducted through the summer in tandem with the buffalo hunt, involved pledgers piercing their backs with a stick and then connecting the stick to a rawhide thong tied to a sacred tree. They danced until their skin tore, liberating them.
My goodness.
That is, Brianna would be losing her mind. Yeah, she'd be so excited. Right now. She. Oh my God. That's
We're saving
everything.
Her for the Crowley episode, but I understand. So shout out to Bri there. The dance was meant to maintain unity between the earth, the sun, and the sky, and to make sure the buffalo never disappeared. You can see with the tree and the individual sort of linking everything together. There were 7 songs in the sun dance, sung 4 times. The dance also took place in a circle, which was also sacred. Lakota camps were also arranged in a circle themselves. So the dances take place in a circle, the camp around the dance is arranged in a circle. But the dance was banned by the government, the sun dance that is, in 1883, in an effort to Christianize the Lakota.
That's terrible. Ugh.
Well, you got to figure with the thongs and the skin ripping and all. Like,
that would be intense.
Just take
like
a white soldier
Christian,
and have them watch that and be like, hey, how you feel about that? Yeah, they'd be like, we got to stop that right now. Because he's like Presbyterian or something. It's not going to go over well. So they banned the dance in 1883. The absence of the sun dance, however, may have spurred interest in the ghost dance. So 1883, we banned the sun dance. 7 years later, we are ghost dancing.
God, but I love the ghost dance so much.
Right. I guess you can't have both dances. You got to pick one. Anyway. I mean, theoretically, I guess the ghost dance was bringing them back to traditional ways. So theoretically, you could have gotten to a space where you were able to enjoy both kinds of dances.
Aspects of the sun. Okay.
So the ghost dance, let's get to that. Now, this is what Shannon was asking about earlier. What's actually happening? We're going to move in a circle with hands joined. The Paiute called it dance in a circle. The Shoshone... They get right to the point. They don't mess around. The Shoshone called it everybody dragging. And the Comanche...
That one's way more intense. That just went from like 0 to at least 80.
Well, I mean, we're going to like pass out going to trance, so there's a logic to that.
I'm into it, but...
The Comanche called it the father's dance.
Oh.
Sort of passed down, right? Or the dance with joined hands. And the Sioux and the Arapaho called it ghost dance. So Lakota dancers fasted, and medicine men blessed the ground for the dance. So we're going to get into it now, talking about how the Lakota did it. We're going to fast. We're going to have a blessing. We're going to go to the sweat lodge. But the sweat lodges are altered for the new ritual. Men and women often gathered together in larger lodges now, instead of the traditional separation. The pipe was smoked, and during the ceremony, a woman, symbolizing buffalo calf woman, from whom the pipe was derived, stood in the center of the circle, holding the pipe and pointing it west, the direction the Messiah had come from. So buffalo calf woman is sort of like this mythic figure. So she's the source of the buffalo calf pipe. So we embody her or symbolize her in the context of this ritual.
Is there a way that they pick the girl?
She probably has to be pretty cool.
They vote her. They vote her in, yeah. Or did she just wake up and was like, this is my year? Like, I don't know.
Probably a little column A, a little column B there.
Did she bribe her way in? Like
the popular kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So they passed a vessel filled with beef symbolizing the buffalo, and a woman shot arrows in the 4 cardinal directions. We haven't even started yet. We're still just prepping.
Why wouldn't they have had buffalo?
The location that they're in and the circumstances. The buffalo is being hunted to extinction, right? Oh, so it's harder and harder to come by. Gotcha. The arrows are collected, and they're hung on a sacred tree. Now we get to the lead singer and the lead dancers, and they gather in the center. During the first song, the dancers stretch their hands to the west, the direction from which the Messiah came and to which the buffalo calf woman had departed. So the Messiah comes from the west, and the buffalo calf woman goes to the west. After the song, they cry, join hands, and begin dancing and singing the next song, moving in a circle from left to right. Then the leader singer and dancer grow increasingly intense in their song, and the dancers, the larger crew, throws dirt in their hair, crying out the names of lost loved ones, trying to inspire visions. Some leap into the air, leaving the circle, and eventually fall to the ground in trance. The dance ends when enough of the dancers have gone into trance. Medicine men interpret the dancers' visions, and the ritual begins again, for as many as 3 times in a row. This is hardcore.
Yeah.
Whew. When the day's ritualizing had ended, the dancers shook out their blankets and bathed in water to purify themselves. Let's take a breath now. Ooh,
probably
boy.
Needed.
It's a big day.
Cool off. So did they do this in a did you say this was like a particular time of the year that they would do this?
It was supposed to be every 6 weeks.
Hmm. You said they would do this days in a row.
Yeah, we're going to get to... The Lakota do not follow Wovoka's initial instructions that this should be every 6 weeks.
Can I ask, what was the need to, like, purify themselves after, like, partaking in such a sacred ceremony? Like, why having to purify yourself afterwards?
Well, I'm going to just speak as a ritual scholar here and not as an expert on these things. I would say that if you are bridging the boundary between life and death, you are engaging in a kind of ritual impurity that you then need to purify afterwards.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even in, like, if I'm, like, work, like, people that, like, are in divination, like, even after you, like, do that stuff, even though it's not, like,
to kind
bad
of, like,
energy,
close everything.
It's kind of just
yeah.
to, like, get it all out of
okay.
you
yeah.
so you don't,
yeah.
like, carry it. Like, if that makes sense.
I dabble yeah. a bit in spiritual healing, and you're meant to conclude a spiritual healing by leaving the action with the person you've healed so
okay.
that you don't take any of their
like Reiki.
Stuff with you yeah when you leave.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
So you do it for the experience, not to necessarily gain anything.
Well, you get to take away whatever vision you've had.
Okay.
So that stays with you, but you want to make a clear break with it when it's over.
Okay.
You don't want anybody following you home.
The like Messiah Buffalo lady. What was her name?
Buffalo Calf Woman.
Buffalo Calf Woman. The, like, exchange between them is very, like, reminiscent to me in, like, a lot of different cultures. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even, like, the... You know what I... Like, the Green Man in, like, Wicca. And, like, the changing of... That's why I asked if it was, like, a seasonal thing. Because
well,
it sounds a lot like... In mythology. You know what I mean?
Well, seasonality would have been... important to these cultures,
right.
but in the context of the ghost dance where things are sort of falling apart,
yeah,
the ghost dance
is
just
true.
Being used as this sort of like way to restart things. But mm-hmm. with these forces and ideas maybe lingering in,
the,
underneath.
The sun dance would have been at
yes.
a particular time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Many Lakota traditions were revived around the ghost dance. The ritual was not an act of directly making war on the whites, but it was a way of reviving American Indian culture in the face of white efforts to obliterate them. But over time, the ghost dance began to change as it was reshaped through dancers' visions and the way those visions were interpreted by medicine men. So this comes back to something Olivia and I started talking about right early on. The interpretation and analysis of vision can lead us in strange directions because the vision then becomes subject to the human. The vision itself may have an ultimate truth, but we are only guessing at that when we begin the act of interpretation. Let's hear from Little Wound.
Wonkantanka instructed me to return to my people, the Sioux, and say to them that if they would be constant in the dance and pay no attention to the whites, he would shortly come to their aid. If the high priest would make for the dancers medicine shirts and pray over them, no harm could come to the wearer. That the bullets of any whites that desired to stop the Messiah dance would fall into the ground without doing anyone harm, and the person firing such shots would drop dead.
In addition to these medicine shirts, they began to bring guns to the dances to defend their observances, although, as Wovoka had instructed, they did not dance with them. Can't dance with your gun.
That's a different message, I feel like.
Dancing with your gun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting Bull himself was not opposed to the dance. He had friends among the missionaries and was open to Christian ideas, but he failed to have a vision in his attempt at the dance and so blessed others to enjoy it, but did not join in himself. By October, some Lakotas had relocated to the dance camps, and the churches and schools on the reservations were empty. Roughly a third of the reservation population at Rosebud and Pine Ridge had joined the dances. Tensions rose between government agents and the Lakotas, and the medicine shirts became increasingly important to the Lakotas' practice. The ghost shirts were red, blue, and yellow, and decorated with eagle and crow feathers. They were the ritual dress for the ghost dance, but could also be worn under everyday clothes.
Nice.
Yeah. For his part, Wovoka said he had nothing to do with the shirts. They may have been inspired by the Mormons, who had regular contact with the Lakota at the time. And are you guys familiar with the...
Were the Mormons wearing those colors?
Yeah, they have holy undergarments.
But aren't they white?
I don't know about the colors and the feathers. I don't think that's a thing, but yeah, they...
Oh, the concept of
the holy... Yeah,
I thought you were talking about the color scheme, and I was like, what Mormons are you like?
Yeah, they have sacred gowns that are meant to have similar properties. The Lakota came to believe that the shirts were bulletproof and would protect them against the white man's aggression. This was part... Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, if it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was part of a larger tradition in which sacred symbols could protect against enemies. Crazy Horse, for example, was believed to be bulletproof.
That's the best one.
Crazy Horse?
Crazy Horse is who I want to go to the bar with.
But you've heard of Crazy Horse, right? Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse, like Geronimo. These are all the major figures of the Native resistance to
the
white armies.
Really into Crazy Horse.
Okay. and I think Geronimo also believed that he could not die.
Okay, Geronimo, now I'm kind of
yeah.
a little bit connected.
He's Apache. Wovoka had promised a new world the next spring, but with tensions mounting with government agents at the Lakota reservations, Short Bull co-opted the Messiah's role and announced that the new world would dawn much sooner, after the next moon, moving up the schedule.
Typical.
I have told you that this would come to pass in two seasons, but since the whites are interfering so much, I will advance the time from what my father above told me to do, so that the time will be shorter. Therefore, you must not be afraid of everything. Some of my relations have no ears, so I'll have them blown away. Now, there will be a tree sprout up, and there, all the members of our religion and tribe must gather together. That will be the place where we see our dead relations. But before this time, we must dance the balance of this moon, at the end of which time the earth will shiver very hard. Whenever this things occur, I will start the wind to blow. We are the ones who will then see our fathers, mothers, and everybody. We, the tribe of Indians, are the ones who are living a sacred life. God, our Father himself, has told and commanded and shown me to do these things.
So now they're like, Wovoka. It was cool what he said and all that, but we're going to go ahead and change that.
Oh.
The Messiah was neat. Nice to meet him. But
see ya.
We've updated that whole thing. Sort of like Paul and Jesus.
Yeah,
but really, come on now. Come on now.
I mean, yeah.
Sorry, Christians? I don't know. Abby was really whoa. No, but seriously.
There, you can find it.
Isn't that literally what Paul did? He's like, I never met the guy, but here's what he told me last week. Anyway. Provoked by rising excitement, the U.S. Army arrived on the 20th of November, 1890. So things are getting intense on the reservation, and then the U.S. Army's like, we can't let this go on.
How long have they let this go on now?
Too long. This caused the ghost dancers to retreat and join together in camps. 1,800 Lakotas and roughly 700 Minikanjus are in these camps. Sitting Bull leads the dance at Standing Rock, so he's getting involved now. The arrival of the army frightened Lakota, who fled to the ghost dance camps for protection, further swelling their ranks. So here comes the army, and then now more Native people are fleeing into the camp, the ghost dance camp. Other Lakota, fearful of being treated as hostile by the army, volunteered to help the government and further divide them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
The ghost dancers gathered on a plateau they called the Stronghold, a place that was both easily defensible and fully provisioned to await the coming of the New World. Prophecies from the dancers' various visions began to fall flat, most notably when a man wearing a ghost shirt, can you guess?
Got shot.
He did. He volunteered, though, to be shot.
Oh.
And the bullet went through the shirt.
Well, now we know.
Yep. Several groups within the ghost dancers broke ranks then and decided to leave the Stronghold and return to the Pine Ridge Reservation and surrender. The army was also putting pressure on Sitting Bull at Standing Rock. And that brings us to today's brief history. Now, Abby, are you up for the brief history today?
Yes. I've kind of woken up a little bit more.
Oh, good.
Somewhat more conscious. So.
Delightful.
Believe in you, Abby.
Yeah. The brief history of Sitting Bull. Sitting Bull was a member of the Hunkpapa tribe of the Lakota.
Hunkpapa?
Hunk Papa. At the age of 14, he joined his first mounted war party and bravely confronted a rival warrior, jabbing with his coup stick?
Yeah, with his coup stick. Counting coup.
Ah, jabbing him with his coup stick. His family had called him Jumping Badger, but he came to be called Slow after the deliberate and awkward way he carried himself.
Olivia can't handle this. She just can't do it. It's gonna get better. He's working his way to a sitting bull.
That's such a sad name.
But that night, the 14-year-old's father gave him the name Sitting Bull after the male buffalo who holds his ground.
See, that's better than Slow.
Yeah.
So the father didn't even mess around. He was like, Slow for like 8 hours. Yeah. I was like, no, you can't be Slow.
This kid cannot be Slow.
In 1857, he was named a chief of the Hunk Papa. After skirmishing with the whites along the Powder River in Wyoming in the 1860s, he refused to sign the Treaty of 1868, limiting the Lakota to the western South Dakota and taking away large tracts of hunting land. Other chiefs did sign, and the treaty was ratified. As the railroads arrived and the gold was discovered, the government violated the treaty, breaking apart the Lakota's sacred ground and proving Sitting Bull right in refusal to sign.
Yeah, that Sitting Bull, right. He's on the right side of history here.
Cool dude. In defiance of the treaty, Sitting Bull set up camp west of the reserved territory, moving to Montana, where there was still buffalo to hunt, and he could observe traditions that the government agents had begun trying to replace.
Like we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. He had a premonition of whites arriving in blue coats as the army under the command of General Alfred Terry marched to force him and his followers back onto the reservations.
Yeah, so Sitting Bull is one of many figures who have these visions, future visions of things to come that help determine how he's going to act. We're also going to be doing a bonus feature for our patrons,
bonus,
where we talk about Lotzen and her sort of miracle medicine powers that she used in warfare as Apache warrior woman. Go ahead.
Lieutenant Colonel George Armstrong Custer did it.
Yeah.
A veteran of the Battle of Gettysburg attacked Sitting Bull at his camp at the Battle of Little Bighorn. Custer died in the assault and lost the battle along with 300 soldiers. The Lakota...
Custer's last stand.
I was literally... Yeah. Okay.
Famously recalled as Custer's last stand.
I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The Lakota dispersed to avoid capture by the army, and Sitting Bull moved his camp to Canada, where he lived until 1881, when the buffalo had been so depleted that he could no longer sustain his followers. He surrendered to the U.S. military and spent 2 years as a prisoner at Fort Randall. He spent the summer of 1885 traveling with Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show. Oh. Okay, oh. That was unexpected.
This
that
happens regularly. Unexpected. Geronimo also toured around and sort of became a local celebrity because they were celebrities, because they were heroes in the newspaper and villains in the newspaper, so people knew their names, so they went around. Geronimo made a lot of his money signing autographs.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he was giving most of the money he made selling autographed photos of himself to poor white children who begged along the show's route.
Yeah.
So he sold to poor beggar children.
Well, he would sell the photographs to regular people, and then he would take the money and give it to the poor.
Oh, okay. I had that confused. I was like, wait a second. Is this guy a hero or is it just poor?
He sold it to them and then gave them the money back.
That would actually be cute. Okay. He returned to Standing Rock, where a violent end still awaited him. And that's the brief history of Sitting Bull.
Yeah. Oh. I'm about to pick that up that violin end. Yeah.
Know, okay,
let's give Abby some love for
Yay!
That. Nice job.
Thanks.
Oh, man. Sitting Bull, I'm going to get sad, right?
Yeah, this turns way dark real fast. I mean, it was already headed in it. You could feel that it was not headed in a good direction. It's not like our native peoples have had a great time historically.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I was hard on Sitting Bull's name in the beginning, like a little bit. Like, I liked other people so much more, but now I'm here for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, is it? Because
you're at least here for him.
Yeah, I'm already sad. I don't even know what's
Sitting Bull said he did not personally believe in the ghost dance, but would not stop his people from practicing it. So he's sort of all over the map on
awesome.
This. He's leading it. He's blessing it. He's, you know, he's like, do your thing. I'm all right with it. Do what you got to do. Around this time, he was visited by a bird while on a morning walk, and the bird told him that he would be killed by one of his own people.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is a regular thing for him, and also other figures, but they would have this sort of communion with nature where they received this information. Agents sent Indian police to arrest Sitting Bull, He initially agreed to go, but as his followers gathered around his cabin, he resisted. One of his followers, Catch the Bear, fired at the Indian police, and Sitting Bull was killed by these police in the skirmish that followed. A war between Sitting Bull's followers and the Indian police ensued, during which a Hunkpapa warrior rode to the middle of the skirmish wearing a ghost shirt and was unharmed.
Okay. I thought for a second it was going to be one of his followers, and I was like, that's such a tragic ending. But it was one of his people, as though, like, the Indian police.
Yeah, so they had a native people who served the government as a police force on the reservation.
Okay.
So they weren't whites, but they were in service of the United States government. So they were hired to police the reservation on behalf of the government, and that's who shot him.
So, but the whole thing about the shirt kind of was true eventually, then.
For that guy, yeah. Not for Sitting Bull, but for the guy who stood in the middle of the skirmish wearing his ghost shirt.
They didn't say it would be for everyone, did they?
Made no promises, I suppose.
The prophecy kind of.
So the news of Sitting Bull's death and the arrival of refugees from his camp frightened the Minneconjous led by Chief Bigfoot. On December the 29th, the army intercepted a band of Minneconjous and Hunkpapa Lakota on their way to Pine Ridge and forced them to make camp at Wounded Knee Creek.
Wait, did you just say Bigfoot?
Yes. The men were separated from the women and children, and the army began searching for weapons. So the army arrives, separates the men from the women and children for obvious reasons. They think that they can, you know, they want to control the potential uprising from the men, right? And they want to search the men for weapons. The men refused to surrender their weapons on their own, though. Yellowbird, who was a medicine man, began the ghost dance, throwing dust in the air and singing about the power of his ghost shirt. Army soldiers asked him to stop. He refused, but eventually stopped, only to pick up the dance again later. The soldiers grabbed hold of a deaf Lakota carrying a gun, who may or may not have been Sitting Bull's son. The gun went off, and a skirmish erupted. What followed has been called since the massacre at Wounded Knee. The soldiers killed women and children as well as men, some shouting out revenge for Custer. 25 U.S. government soldiers were killed, and between 150 and 250 Lakota.
Holy shit. That sucks.
Following Wounded Knee, the ghost dancers fled, but their unity was disintegrating in the face of the army. At the end of January 1891, a caravan of between 4,000 and 7,000 Lakotas returned to Pine Ridge and surrendered to the army. Wovoka and his ghost dance, so that's the sad note.
But, like, Yellowbird kind of, I mean, did he finish the dance?
He danced in defiance. There's a lot of defiance in this.
I mean, I love that. Like, I guess...
Let's do a little bit more on that theme then, shall we?
Yeah.
All right.
Make me feel better about all of this, please.
I'm going to try. Wovoka and his ghost dance continued underground after the events at Wounded Knee and was publicly revived at the Wounded Knee incident in 1973. So we've gone way ahead in history now. It's part of the American Indian Movement, which was sort of like a civil rights movement on behalf of the native peoples were doing on their own behalf. 200 Oglala Sioux occupied Wounded Knee to protest the United States' failure to honor past treaties and to demand opening up treaty negotiations again. Road blockades were established around the occupiers, and paramilitary forces with armored vehicles traded fire with the protesters over the course of 3 months until both sides agreed to disarm and the U.S. government came in to occupy the town. This is 20th century stuff, right?
What?
Yeah. Sounds almost exactly like what happened in the 19th century, 100 years earlier. But in the midst of the conflict, Lakota men and women danced the ghost dance, the ritual meant to put them in direct contact with the generations who preceded them, on the very site where their ancestors had been killed.
Oh, this is badass, though. Oh, so this is really...
Nearly 100 years later, the ghost dance had persisted, linking the past with the present in hopes of a better future.
So they were still passing this dance down.
It's been passed on and on. Up till, yeah, present day, I'm sure.
Oh, but, like, using it to, like, ugh. Oh,
it's oppositional.
Oh, yeah, it's that's oppositional. So good.
And that's why it's magical warfare.
Yeah.
And that's the end of our discussion of the ghost dance.
Oh, okay. It's over?
It's 1973. How much more can I do?
I had, like, in the beginning of this episode, expectations of, like, raising really just, like, it being about ghosts, but, like, this is cooler.
And they were involved, but yeah, it's warfare. But, like, we gotta get to warfare.
Right.
Yeah, this is... it's magical warfare. All right. So let's we're going to bring this one on home. Before we do, we have had some notes from our Order of Confessors. I'm trying to think. I'm just doing this off the top of my head because I've been trying to keep track. Instaquisitor, have you been keeping track?
Oh, so someone tagged us on one of their posts. We were tagged by Art Noctifier.
Oh, what's going on? An artist?
Yeah, so she drew...
She or he?
Oh, she or he, sorry.
Unless you know it's a she.
I don't know.
Okay.
Or them.
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 They.
Yes.
They.
So what was going on? Why is this of note?
Oh, well, they drew a picture of their hand and they said that they were listening to us the whole time they were drawing it.
Oh, nice. We're inspiring art.
One left hand at a time.
One. Thank you, Art Noctifer.
Nice oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
a beautiful picture.
That's a great hand.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Do we share that on...
That
can we
right
share
hand?
That on our Instagram?
Yeah, well, I shared it on our story, but I can, like...
Yeah, check us out on Instagram if you haven't. Occult conf- what are we at?
Well,
occult
I don't know
confessions?
If it's still going to be up.
Oh.
By the time what happens this comes out.
Because, you know...
People
week.
Take that down, the left hand?
No, the story goes away.
Oh, I don't know how any of this works.
Well, we're telling you.
Well, hopefully by now you would have seen our story and went on
Act Fast
Fire's page and like their posts.
In any case,
they have really cool art on there.
Some cool art.
Yeah.
We want to mention Belteshazzar, John D. We had a bunch of folks write into us to tell us what a TBI was, and it is the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation.
Hmm.
Yeah, we were debating that.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. It's a traumatic
I was
brain
like, wait a
incident.
Second. We got you though. You got me.
So yeah, we were playing around a little bit in the Order of Confessors last time. We were talking about AASB and how bad we are at
everything.
Acronyms of all kinds. At everything.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at all things.
It's just like a group therapy session. Like,
but especially at understanding what acronyms like were. And Belteshazzar, our buddy on the Instagram, cool. actually was like, yeah, I think it might have been caused by an IED. And then he wrote in parentheses, actually, I don't remember. Whatever an IED is.
Like intelligent
I don't
people,
know. Yeah,
also...
it's just not our thing to know what these letters mean.
Just write out the words. You have the time. What are abbreviations?
All right, so we're thanking all of you for writing in with that information for us. All right, before we close up, I just want to let you all know, if you join us on Patreon for only $1 a month, you will be getting all of the bonus features that we're doing for every episode of our Warfare series, and today we are talking about Apache warrior woman and medicine woman, Lotsen.
Just $1?
Just that, well, if you would like to get
or
more is possible.
What a
Lotsen
deal.
Is worth it.
Woo.
All right. We've got like 3 hours of bonus
content
on there.
I know, I'm trying to be like...
Yeah, it's a lot of bonus. Like, I had no idea we'd added that
at
much.
At least $2, that is a lot, I think our...
gambling it up.
Worth at least $2.
All right, Olivia, bring us home before we beg for any more.
I hereby adjourn and declare closed this meeting of the Secret Order of Alchemical Actors until such a time as we get together and do it again.
Lovely. Our voices today, we had Connor McPeak joining us for the first time. We had regular Sam Steen doing a voice for us, and Sean Priest, also a regular voice for us. And I do want to mention Nick Ross did a voice for us last time. We missed him. So we'll add him this time. He was a werewolf guy.
Sorry, Nick. Deadly.
Sorry, Nick. Okay.
He got his moment eventually.
Yeah, as long as it comes. Yeah. That's what matters. Joining me around the circle, we had our neophyte, Abby Cook, joining us for the first time.
You did it.
Nice job.
Thank you
so got through a whole brief much. History and everything.
Yeah, we I was threw like, that at her.
We got Shannon Landers, our Instaquisitor.
Hi, guys.
Olivia Litterall, Grand Master.
Next week, man.
And me, I'm Rob Thompson. I am your Supreme Hierophant. Speaking of next week, we will be back with a discussion of Chinese secret societies and the supernatural visions that inspired them.
Thank
yeah.
God.
Going back to the Mongols.
We need to talk about that ASAP.
Yeah, we're going to get on it.
Good.
We record, as always, at the beautiful Cadby Theater on the scenic eastern shore of Maryland. And I guess we encourage you to visit. Do we do that? We've never done that before.
Maybe like a couple states over and just
shoot us an email if you're planning to take a day trip, and we'll meet you.
Stay in Pennsylvania and just, you know, shoot over.
We can meet up for coffee, maybe.
Ooh, coffee date.
We'll catch you next time. You're on A Cult Confessions.